I have a picture of my family that I think is going to be up here because it's Mother's Day. I have to brag a little bit on my kids and my family. There's Charlie and I, and we have four kids. Our oldest is Kate, our beautiful daughter. She's 16, and then we have Charlie there on the right. He's 14, and Oakley's on his back. He's 11 now, and then last but not least is our crazy 8-year-old Jude, who keeps things exciting. Well, they all keep things exciting in our family. But you know, I was thinking about Mother's Day and the word mother, and a lot of times we use that as a noun, but I believe that the word mother is really a verb because it's not necessarily who we are, it's what we do. And so today we just wanted to do all of this to honor all of the ladies in our lives today for all the mothering that you do. So thank you, ladies, for all that you do. And so I was a little bit inspired by the video, The Van, and thought I would talk today about respecting the van. Do you guys remember that commercial? They may still show it, but a couple years ago, the commercial, the Honda Odyssey commercial, Respect the Van. And you know, every mom, or for that matter, every family knows that we have to respect the van, right? Why? Because our vans take a beating, don't they? We stuff them full of kids. I think I've had up to 10 kids in my minivan before, and we haul all of our stuff, the sports equipment and all the luggage when we're on vacations. And there's actually even a couch, I think, back in that nursing mother's room that got to this church in the back of my minivan. So we use our vans and they take a beating. And I think that the van can actually represent a lot in our lives. They can be full of stuff, sometimes stuff that stinks and smells or should have been vacuumed or scraped out a long time ago. We can have bags. I don't know if you're like me, but you have bags of stuff, Target bags usually in the back of your van, of stuff that you plan to return. And it just, you know, it's back there for months and months, and you keep going back to Target, but you forget to return it, and you just keep buying more stuff from Target. I don't know. You're not like that. That's just me, I guess. I remember this one several years ago, this one mom was telling me the story about her van and how it started to have a funny smell in it. And so they cleaned it, and they kind of looked around, couldn't find anything, but as the weeks went on, it just kept getting worse and worse, and finally it was just this unbearable smell in her van, and they were searching everywhere in the van trying to figure out what was causing the smell, and they found wedged under one of the seats, kind of back where they couldn't see it, was a gallon of milk, and it was all curdled, and I don't know if it was summertime, but in my imagination, it was summertime, you know, and it's 80 degrees outside, and this milk is just stinking up their van. But so today, I want to ask the question, what is in the van of our lives that needs to be cleaned out and removed? So we're going to talk about respect the van, identifying and cleaning out the junk in our souls. So the first junk in our souls that we need to clean out is comparisons, or rather unhealthy comparisons, worrying about what other people think. And I don't think it's hard for us to figure out one of the greatest things in our society today that fuels unhealthy comparisons is social media. You know, I think this is something, well, not I think, I know it's something that no other generation has had to deal with. And I read a survey that said that women are 11 times more likely to feel like they're not good enough or that other people are doing better after looking at social media. And you can probably relate to this. You know, you look through Instagram or Facebook and you see everybody's highlight reels, and so you're thinking, well, my house doesn't look like that, or, you know, my 2-year-old didn't just make a 3-layer birthday cake, you know, with special sea creatures coming out of it or whatever, you know. And so we start feeling bad about ourselves because we're comparing our lives to these lives that we're seeing on social media. I remember, you know, a little while ago, because Charlie and I are pastors, and so we have other pastor friends and other churches that we will follow on social media. And so I remember a couple of Thanksgivings ago, there was this church, and they were doing this huge Thanksgiving feast, and they were posting all of these pictures. They were feeding their whole community this huge Thanksgiving feast. And I saw that and I'm like, oh, should we be doing that? We're not doing that. And then this other church was providing free oil changes for single moms one spring. And so they were posting all these pictures of all these moms in their community coming up and getting these free oil changes. And I'm like, wow, that's so amazing. Like, should we be doing that? We're not doing that. And then I have other pastors' wives, friends, you know, another church, and the pastor's wife does like 50% of the preaching, you know, with her husband. And so they take turns, and she goes and speaks at all these conferences. And I'm like, well, gosh, that's not me. Should I be speaking more? I'm not even really that gifted at it. And so we start feeling bad about ourselves. And so I was, saying this to Charlie, and he was like, honey, he was like, no, you're right. We didn't throw a big Thanksgiving feast for a whole community, but you know what? We feed hundreds of families week in and week out through our food pantry, Messiah's Market. And no, we didn't do oil changes for single moms, but we did provide free babysitting every single weekend through the month of February. And no, I might not be some rock star conference speaker, but I can dream up a hanging floral installation out in the narthex and photo walls and ferns and lamps, you know, hanging. We're just different, and we're amazing. You guys are amazing, and we are so blessed and proud to get to pastor such a fabulous, fabulous congregation. But if we're not careful, that spirit of comparison fueled by social media can become like a wet gym sock in the back of our vans, stinking up our lives. So in passing, I would just kind of like to suggest that we limit our social media diet. You may even want to take a break from it. Gasp, oh my gosh, take a break from it. But, you know, it will help to put things in back into the right perspective. I know I have friends that kind of put time limits on how often or for how long they can look at social media, and I think that's such a great idea. And comparison not only fuels discontentment, but it also can create a critical and negative attitude in us as well. You know, we can compare our yard to our neighbor's yard or our car to our friend's car. You know, their Pacifica has touch screens and Wi-Fi and like a personal chef that comes with it. You know, my car just has like week-old Chipotle wrappers. We compare our, you know, followers. They might have 5,000 Instagram followers, and we're like, they're not even that interesting. Or the working mom compares herself to the stay-at-home mom, and the stay-at-home mom is maybe comparing herself to the working mom, and we end up feeling terrible about ourselves. So I was just going to suggest that we remove the stinking sock of unhealthy comparisons from our vans. And this is not easy. It's very hard to do. It takes practice and it takes awareness. I love this quote from E.E. Cummings. If it's up there, let's read it out loud together. To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you everybody but yourself means to fight the hardest battle which any human can fight. And never stop fighting. So let's fight. Let's fight. Give the social media a break and put your things and your life, maybe even your church and your relationship with God, back into perspective. And let go of the stench of unhealthy comparisons. And the second thing that we can clean out of our lives is perfectionism. Perfectionism. And I want to make sure we're on the same page of what perfectionism is. Perfectionism is not striving to be your best or what you might say self-improvement. Self-improvement says I want to be healthier and feel better, so I'm going to start exercising. Perfectionism says I'm not good enough unless I look a certain way, so I need to exercise. Dr. Brené Brown gives a great definition of perfectionism in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection. Let's read that. She says, perfectionism is a self-destructive and addictive belief system that fuels this primary thought. If I look perfect, live perfectly, and do everything perfectly, I can avoid or minimize the painful feelings of shame, judgment, and blame. And we all want that, right? We all want to avoid those painful feelings of shame, judgment, and blame. But do you know that the only true way to do that is through accepting God's unconditional love that he offers to us through his son, Jesus? That's the only thing that can adequately deal with those painful feelings. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no more guilt. There's no more shame for those who trust in Jesus Christ. You know, I can't tell you how many times we meet people who are afraid to come to church because they think that they're not good enough. And they walk in the door like afraid that they're going to get struck by lightning. Or maybe they say, I want to take a next step, like, for example, baptism, but I don't have my act together enough yet. I don't have my life together enough. I'm not ready. I need to set things straight before I can get baptized. But what's sad is they're missing the point. That's not the point of baptism. Baptism isn't for perfect people. Baptism is for people who need the help of God released in their lives. You know, none of us are nor ever will be perfect or good enough. I love this quote I'm going to read from Dr. Henry Cloud. He said, God doesn't rescue perfect people. He wants people with problems. Aren't you glad that you came to hear that message, right? We all have problems. People with nothing to fix have nothing to say to God. He never said, blessed are those who have their act together. If nothing is broken, nothing can be fixed. He goes on to say, the church should be a place where it's safe to be unfinished, incomplete, and needy. And you know, that's my husband and I's prayer, is that people will always feel welcome here, whatever is going on in your life. We're just a church full of imperfect people with problems. So if you have problems, you belong here. And so this is where God's perfect love comes in. He sent his son, and he is our righteousness for us. He was judged guilty for us. So I love that message, that when we accept him, we have the total and complete acceptance of God in our lives. I'm set free. We're set free. You guys say, I'm set free. You're set free. And not only are we free emotionally, but we're free when we're in a relationship with God. We're free from having to have the perfect circumstances. And why? Because God is with us, and we trust in him, and he's working it all out. Even when the circumstances and the situations we're in are completely imperfect, he's still in the midst of that. I remember reading this a couple years ago somewhere, talking about the birth of Jesus and how, you know, this is God we're talking about, right? I mean, he can create the perfect situation. And so when we look at the birth of Jesus, it was nothing but imperfect, right? The whole event was full of imperfections. There was an unwanted pregnancy, traveling while pregnant, no place to have a baby, giving birth in a barn. I mean, really, like, that's a barn, but it could have been the perfect situation, the perfect hospital, the perfect doctors. If we're talking perfection, let's just skip past the whole labor and delivery, right? We just have this beautiful, happy, quiet, clean, chubby, smiling baby, you know, that just shows up at our door. But God used and works through imperfections. And that's our truth that we have in our notes. God works through imperfections. To God, the imperfections aren't impediments, but it's the stuff through which he works. He's not worried about everything having to be just right. You know, so you didn't get into the college that you wanted or the job that you wanted, or maybe somebody else got that promotion that you were looking for. Maybe you're not married yet and you want to be, or you don't have kids and you so desperately want to have them. Maybe that pile of laundry just never goes away. It's just always there. You know, we all have limitations. We all have imperfections, but oftentimes that's the very thing that God wants to use in our lives. If, it's a big if we will allow him to. And it's not only our imperfect circumstances that I think we carry around in our vans, it's our past failures. A lot of us have cluttering up the vans of our lives. We think that our past failures disqualify us somehow from having present or future success. But the secret that I want to tell you this morning is that our limitations may be a door of opportunity for us. A great example of this, did you know that Walt Disney was fired for lacking imagination and creativity? or that Stephen King, you know, the famous author, his book Carrie was rejected by 30 publishers before he finally threw the manuscript away and his wife took it out of the trash can and submitted it. And then, you know, the rest is history. Oprah Winfrey was told that she was unfit for television. The very first Harry Potter manuscript was rejected by 12 major publishers before finally being accepted. Colonel Sanders, you know, the from KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, his chicken recipe was rejected by hundreds of people before finding success. So we have to let go. Let's stop disqualifying ourselves because we're imperfect or have past failures. God wants to use us and he wants to work through us, even with our imperfections and our weaknesses and our limitations. So the third source of clutter that we have in our vans is trying to do it all. This is my biggest struggle, trying to do it all. I was laughing because I was coming in the building the other day and I refused. Do you ever do this where you refuse to make more than one trip? You're like, I'm gonna get it all in one trip, and I'm like juggling stuff and your fingers are turning blue because you're holding like all the plastic grocery bags trying to carry it all. That's that's what our lives can be like sometimes. Last week my husband was out of town and you know, so everything basically was on my plate. And you know, just getting four kids to church on a Sunday morning is a major accomplishment. And so you add on top of that serving, and then that evening I was sharing at the Team Orange meeting, and then we had a marriage event meeting that night. If you haven't, by the way, signed up for the marriage event next Saturday, you need to do that after the service. But anyway, so Oakley had a research paper due, Jude had a lacrosse game and practices, Kate has dance late most nights of the week, Charlie used up all of the gas riding his dirt bike, so we had no gas for the lawnmower, and the grass was like up to here, so we had to go get gas from the, you know, the gas station so we could mow the lawn, and my husband was out of town, and it was Mother's Day week, so I'm trying to prepare a message, and I'm wanting to dream up, you know, what we can do out in the foyer for all the moms, and did I mention that my husband was out of town? And so, and most importantly, I needed to get my roots dyed, you know, because I'm speaking. And did I mention that my husband's flight got canceled? So then he was got home 24 hours after he was supposed to. Trying to do it all is exhausting. And we live in a nation of exhausted, overstressed adults raising overscheduled kids. In fact, I think it's become almost like a status symbol for how busy we are in our lives. You know, we run into each other and we say, oh my gosh, I worked like 70 hours this week and I was up late making, you know, homemade little hand-painted cookies for the teacher appreciation day. And my kids are all signed up for 5 sports and I coach all of them. And I had to take dinner to a sick friend, and I, you know, had to get my 50 miles in for the marathon that I'm running next weekend, you know, and we want to get a pat on the back for that, and then we'll even try to one-up, and we're like, oh, yeah, well, you think that's bad, and then we start in the list of all of the things that we're doing, and I love, let's look at what Eugene Peterson says. Let's read this quote together. Busyness is an illness of the spirit. Think about that. It's an illness of the spirit. The truth is there are very few things that are actually really important, and everything else can slide. Imagine that we're living life and we're juggling, and I wish I could juggle for you guys, but we're juggling all of these balls and a microphone. And some of these balls are glass and are very fragile, and some are rubber, and we need to know in our lives which of these balls we need to catch and which ones we can let bounce. So we have to ask ourselves, what really is the most important thing? What are the few things that are truly important? Maybe it's your relationship with God, it should be, your relationship with your family and your kids. Refuse to let, once we identify those things, we have to refuse to let busyness crowd those things out. And we also need to take responsibility for our busyness. There were these two pastors that were talking one time, and one was a more seasoned pastor, and one was this younger pastor who was telling the story of how his church had just like exploded, and they just couldn't stop the growth, and it was just utterly out of control, and it was this just unstoppable phenomenon, this explosive growth. And the seasoned pastor was kind of pushing him and was like, you know what, you've built this church, and it's okay to admit this. And the young pastor just kept protesting, and he kind of preferred to say, no, it's just this wild, inexplicable growth. We didn't have anything to do with it. And then the older seasoned pastor kind of pushed back, and he said, well, no, not nothing. You kept putting out chairs. You know, and if we think about it, we can often look at our hectic, busy, crazy lives and be like that young pastor and say, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it. Just all of these balls just keep getting thrown at me. But at the end of the day, if we're honest, we're the ones that keep adding things. We're the ones that keep putting out more chairs. And so I would ask us today, is more always better? Is faster always better? In all honesty, a lot of times the things that are done right are usually not done quickly. So let's deliberately clean out the clutter and the busyness from our souls, that trying to do it all. When, you know, when there's only one of you in your van, you can go quickly, you can take sharp turns quickly. But as our vans fill up, we have to slow down. As our life fills up, we have to slow down. But the great news is, Jesus wants to help us. He wants to remind us that there are very few things that actually matter. Let's read Matthew 11 together. Come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you to accept is easy, and the load I give you to carry is light. He wants us to have a light, easy load. So this morning, let's respect the van of our souls, and keep it clean from unhealthy comparisons, the burden of perfectionism, and the clutter of having to do it all. You know, the great thing about having a van is we can pull it right into a car wash, right? We can get the outside cleaned, we can get the inside vacuumed and scrubbed, and even get a little tree that smells like new car scent, right? But in the same way, that's just like God's house. We can come here and allow the presence of God to wash over us so that we're not only clean on the outside, but inside our hearts and souls and minds, we are also clean and new. You know, so today I want to remind you on this Mother's Day, women and men, right? God is for you. He's with you, and you're amazing and wonderful, and he wants to use you in an awesome way. Let's just pray as we close. Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to just come into your house, Lord, and hear your word and just receive your rest, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you want us to have an easy burden to carry. You want our souls to be clean, and the clutter and the junk that we're carrying around, Lord, to just be washed away, God. And so we just rest in your promises, Lord, and we thank you for your help in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.